Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. We are standing here on the grounds of Braycourt Manor, continuing our commemoration of the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And in this segment, my co-host to provide some assistance to me is the noted author, D-Day expert, Dominique Francois. And Dominique, with his fantastic connections and extreme knowledge of things going on here and the people that he knows, has arranged for a special opportunity for us. And we are actually inside of Braycourt Manor. And as our audience would be familiar, this is one of those famous scenes in the Band of Brothers, where they were in charge of taking out four of the German guns. And Dominic, I'd like to know if you could please introduce to us our very special guest that's given us this opportunity to come onto this beautiful site.
Yes, thank you, Doug. Yes, it's a great honor for me to introduce to your people Mr. Charles de Valavier, who is the mayor of the town, who is also the curator and the director of the Utah Beach Museum, and who is also the current owner of the Braycourt Manor.
Mayor, thank you so much, and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. I hope my English is correct.
Your English is going to be just fine, and the great thing is that we have a fantastic French translator with us as well. And this is just beautiful. It's great to be able to come inside, and you know, we have just a short amount of time together, and I'm wondering if you might be able to kind of describe a little bit for us about the grounds and who was here on D-Day, on the day that we know that those guns were taken out.
Est-ce que vous pouvez nous dire, en fait, avant que les canons soient pris lors de la bataille, est-ce que vous pouvez nous décrire qui était là sur le site de Braycourt?
The Braycourt is a propriety of the family. Donc, at this time, I live here my grandfather, Colonel Charles de Valavier, and my grandmother, and also my father and my uncle. The other people of the family is not here.
And we were driving in to the grounds. We notice the hedgerows, as we call them. And how do you say that in French?
Ouais, la question, c'est en venant jusqu'ici, nous avons vu des haies, et des haies très épaisses. Comment vous les appelez, quelles sont l'utilité de ces haies?
Alors, les haies étaient construites pour se protéger du vent et des champs les uns des autres. Et c'était vraiment pour les soldats américains, les GIs ou les parachutistes, un piège.
He said that the hedgerows here in Normandy were, first of all, used as a fence and to protect against the wind. But on D-Day, hedgerows were like a trap for the American and for the Allied.
Yeah, we could easily see how it would be a trap. Is it so thick as you're driving and you just can't see what's on the other side of it? I want to talk about the guns. There were four positions outside of the manor. And, of course, Lieutenant Dick Winters and his team, Easy Company, they had to take them out. How or what was the process for them to be able to get in here and secure those guns?
En fait, donc il y avait ces quatre canons. La mission de Dick Winters, le lieutenant Winters, était de prendre ces canons. Comment s'est organisée la prise de cette position?
La mission première des parachutistes était la sécurité des sorties de Utah. Donc on lui a donné cette mission de prendre les canons, mais là, c'est là où il a vraiment fait preuve d'une tactique particulière et quoi, qui a été très performante. Et comment 13 hommes arrivent à capturer 4 canons défendus par 58 Allemands et les neutraliser relativement vite sans beaucoup de dégâts.
So his mission was to, the Captain Winter's mission was to take this gun to protect the beach against the fire of this gun. And what is very interesting is that how 13 American paratroopers were able to take four guns defended by 58 German soldiers.
And so they were able to move in, and the guns, they were actually positioned towards Utah Beach. So an extremely important piece of terrain to overtake for the security of the beach itself.
Oui, il dit que les canons étaient tournés vers Utah Beach et c'était effectivement très important de prendre ces canons. Pouvez-vous en parler un petit peu de ça?
Alors je pense qu'on peut dire que c'est un premier succès de Utah. Utah est un succès total et que le fait d'avoir détruit ces quatre canons a certainement économisé beaucoup de vie et beaucoup de difficultés.
He says that the operation at Utah Beach was a full success, but the first success of the Battle of Utah Beach was probably this ambush and to have been able to take the four guns. That's now why this tactic was teach in a military school in U.S.
I also understand that once they were able to take out the guns, there was some pretty significant intelligence that was collected here that really helped throughout the rest of the war, at least the surrounding area, to identify where some of the other guns were.
Il dit que après la capture de ces canons, on a entendu dire qu'il y avait eu des renseignements fournis aux Américains sur d'autres positions de canons.
Alors ça, je pense que ce que vous avez entendu est juste parce que les parachutistes ont pris une carte qui était une carte allemande où il y avait la position des différentes batteries allemandes. Dans le Cotentin.
So that's very true what you said, that the paratroopers found on the site of the guns, they found a map case, and there was a map telling where was the position, the location of some other guns in the Cotentin Peninsula.
I understand that during that course of action, your father was actually injured here at the manor.
Je crois savoir que votre père, pendant cette bataille, a été blessé dans le manoir.
Alors, mon père a été blessé après la prise des canons, quand les parachutistes sont arrivés ici. Et donc, la famille se protégeait et lui est sorti. Pour quelle raison il s'est fait tirer dessus, c'est très difficile. Et ce qui est aussi très difficile, c'est d'en parler parce qu'il lui n'en parlait jamais.
Yes, that's true. That just after they taken the battery, the paratroopers arrive in the house, and my family was in a shelter. And when my father left the shelter, he was wounded in the back. So it's very difficult to give you more information because my father used not to talk about that. He was injured. And he had some surgery here, and then he was moved in England for 8 months.
We have just a little bit of time left. The grounds are beautiful. I see some restoration happening still, some maintenance, but it's absolutely beautiful in here, and we really, really appreciate you taking the time to come and meet us here, to show us inside where many don't ever get to see into your private space. And, from Minnesota Military Radio, I just want to say thank you so much for giving us this opportunity.
Donc, il tient absolument on n'a plus beaucoup de temps, mais à vous remercier pour votre réception. L'ambiance est extraordinaire de ce parc et de voir ces restaurations, c'est absolument super. Et on est vraiment très, très heureux et très chanceux d'avoir pu vous rencontrer. Encore un grand merci.
Non, c'est un plaisir de vous recevoir et je crois que c'est aussi important aussi que cette histoire perdure pour les nouvelles générations et que surtout qu'elle ne soit pas déformée.
He says that it's very important to talk about this battle. which not be forgotten in the future, especially for the new generation.
This is Doug Wortham with Minnesota Military Radio.